Hallelujah. Without a shadow of a doubt, does your soul truly sing when you think that God, his son not sparing, gave his son to live and die for you and me, to shed his blood for you and I? Does your soul truly sing? And this morning, I think if we all stop and take time to think about what God has done for us, then we truly are able to stop and sing. And I heard in your voices this morning that is what you believe. That is how you feel. You sing because what God has done for you. As was shared, this is VBS starting tonight. And the theme kind of carries with it the whole thing of Jesus everlasting in the past and everlasting into the future. Back when I had hair, I went for a haircut, and the place that I went, this lady took a long time cutting my hair. It took forever. Snip, 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 forever. And I use that word, and we use that word often. It took forever for supper to get ready. It took forever for the traffic to clear out. You know, we use the word forever, and we have no clue what we're talking about. Amen? We have no clue what forever is. When we think of forever past to forever present, we can't get that in our heads. We don't understand that. But you and I are directly connected to someone who is connected to ever past and ever present. Amen? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I titled the message this morning, Who is Jesus to You? Who is Jesus to you? And this morning I believe that even though Jesus lived 2,000 years ago, how could it matter today? How could it matter today? Who is Jesus to you? I believe it is the most important question that you will ever answer in life, next to I do. But anyway, it is the most important question that you will answer in life is, who is Jesus to me personally? Who is he? Is he that little baby in a manger? Is he that man that was nailed to a cross? Is he the one that was buried in a tomb? Who is Jesus to me? And you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 because Jesus asked this question of the disciples. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 17. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13, it says this, When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, What do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who are they saying I am? And I want to assure you this morning that you cannot turn to the multitudes or the people or the big crowd to ask them who Jesus is. Because you will get a whole lot of different definitions or descriptions of who Jesus is. The only way that we can truly identify with Jesus is follow the thought here. And so they said, some say John the Baptist. Why were people saying that he might be John the Baptist? Was it because of his good preaching? Was it because that John the Baptist had preached Jesus coming, but here was Jesus preaching and he was preaching something that was similar to or like unto what John the Baptist was preaching? Possibility. This is just theory. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Why was it that they would liken Jesus unto Elijah? Elijah was able to pray in a way that I believe that not many people listening to the scripture could, where the rain stopped or the sun stood still or whatever it was that Elijah prayed. He was a man of prayer. And I believe the disciples saw in Jesus, or the people around the multitudes saw Jesus being able to pray. And isn't it ironic that the one thing that that the disciples ask of Jesus, even though he was a good preacher, he did miracles, he did many works, what did he ask them? Lord, teach us how to pray. teach us how to pray. They saw the connection that Jesus had with the Father, and his prayer life was something that they noticed, that they paid attention to. And it says, it goes on, it says, and others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. What again was the characteristic of Jeremiah? Jeremiah was a very compassionate person. And I believe the compassion that they saw in Jesus, they said, could this be Jeremiah? They kind of had this idea that this was somebody else coming back and sharing with them. And then he said to them, the question that he's saying to all of us, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. There is no book, there is no study that you can do that will tell you who Jesus is. It has to come from the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit within you identifies and shares with you and gives you the truth about who Jesus is. And you can truthfully answer who Jesus is to you personally. And if you're here this morning and you have not been born again, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have not given your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then this morning you do not truly understand who Jesus is. And the best thing you could do this morning is yield your life to Jesus Christ. It will fill you with joy. It will fill you with hope. It will fill you with compassion. It will give you the ability to share the word. It will give you the ability to pray. Those are the things that come with knowing Jesus. You can turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The theme for Bible school carries with it this, and these are the points of the different evenings throughout the week. Tonight is going to be Jesus always has been and always will be with you. Tonight is he always has been and always will be with you. With you. Jesus is with you. But let's read here in John before I get into that. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So we see here in verse 1, in the beginning, where's the other scripture that says that? In Genesis 1, in the beginning. In John 1, in the beginning, Jesus was, he was. There is no question that he was there during creation, and he is here now within you through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus always was and always has been and always will be with you. It doesn't matter. You might be facing something this morning that you think is impossible. It is impossible to go through what I am facing in life, and I cannot find hope to go on. The Bible says that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. So the promise that we have, and again, I shared a sermon on the precious promises of God's word. So a promise we have is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Maybe you're here this morning and there's this burden in your heart. You feel like you can't carry the burden another day. No matter how big your problem is, Jesus was already there. Jesus was already there. You are walking into something that he knows all about. So take your biggest problem in your mind this morning. And I'll give you a moment to think about that. The biggest problem in your mind this morning, and it seems like there's no way, I want you to hear this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is with you. I worked with a young man. His name was Paul. He was a little bit older than I was, but a young man. And Paul was, I worked at a feed mill, at Souders Feed Mill, and Paul was mixing feed there, and Paul would sing, and you'd almost always walk in and you'd hear him singing, but he would go through some really dark times. So Paul, he met a girl, and he started dating, and he was dating this girl. Things were going well. There was a smile on his face, but once in a while, he'd go through these dark times. He got married to this girl, and a beautiful wedding. We were the wedding there, Karen and I, and he quit working at the feed mill, and he started farming on his father-in-law's farm. Perfect setup. He could farm the farm in order to buy it. It was paid for and that kind of thing. And so Paul had this setup that was ideal for him to be able to make it. One thing Paul didn't have was the assurance that Jesus was with him in it all. And one day in his bedroom, he took a gun, stuck it in his mouth, and shot himself. And I wish today that I could tell Paul, you don't need to do this. Jesus already died. The blood was shed. Jesus already died, and he is with you. If you will surrender your life to him, there is hope. So I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're sitting here this morning and the burden that you're facing or the problem that you're facing seems way too big for you to handle, Jesus says, I am here for you. I am here for you. It's not something I should have to tell Christian people, but I know how we are, that we need to hear it again and again, that Jesus is here for you. He's here for me. And the challenges that you're facing are promises of God's word that he will not leave you nor forsake you. Who is Jesus to you? Tomorrow night, Jesus always has been and always will be the promise keeper. The promise keeper. He always has been and he always will be the promise keeper. Next night is, he always has been and always will be ready to love and to forgive. Maybe you're here this morning and you, in your heart, you feel like you have committed a sin or you've done something to somebody that there's no way that you can be forgiven. I'm here to tell you, Jesus will forgive you if you will repent. He will forgive you. He always has and he always will into the future forgive you when you repent. He is ready to love and to forgive. The next night, Jesus always has been and always will be caring. Caring. He cares. Again this morning, you may be here and you feel like no one cares. You've shared with your friends. You've shared with your family. You've shared with your pastor, your lay pastor. You've shared with everyone that you know. And it feels like no one cares. Not true. It's a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus cares. Jesus cares. Always has. Always will. The last night, Jesus always has been and always will be in charge. You know, if we don't get this one, then we don't get any of the rest of them. If we don't get the fact that Jesus always has been and always will be in charge, we miss it all. Because if he's in charge, then I need to let go of myself. I need to let go of me. See, Jesus cannot be in charge when I'm in charge. In order for Jesus to be in charge, I must let go of self. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about other people. It's about Jesus. Why other people? Because other people are part of Jesus. It's not about me, and I need to let go if I am ever going to understand the rest of those, that he is with me, that he is the promise keeper, that he's ready to love and forgive. I need to let go of self to embrace that. I need to understand that he is in charge. And I ask this question this morning, are you allowing Jesus to be with you? He does not force himself into your situation. He does not force himself into your hurt and pain. He needs to be invited in. He needs to be one, he needs to be called into your situation. He needs to be brought into your pain. He needs to be brought into your hurt, your disappointment. He needs to be asked to be brought in. He doesn't force his way in. Dropping down to verse 14 in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They beheld his glory. Jesus came and he dwelt among them and they beheld his glory. How does the world around us, how do the peoples sitting next to you, how do they behold the glory of Jesus today? It's through you. It's through the Spirit of God dwelling in you. It's through the Spirit of Christ in you. And when you bring Jesus into your situation, when you bring Jesus into your big thing, it ministers to people that there is a Jesus who is alive, who does care, who will always be with you, and who is in charge. They beheld his glory. He was full of grace and truth. What did they behold? He was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. And I ask you this morning, who is Jesus in you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he full of grace? Is he full of grace? Is he full of truth? He is full of grace and truth. So who is he to you? Jesus is in charge. You need to surrender your rights. When Jesus is in charge, when you glance in the mirror and see the person tailgating you, who is Jesus to you? Come on, we've all done it. It's not just me. Glance in the mirror, somebody's tailgating you. See, when Jesus is in charge, you give up your rights, okay? Came to the four-way stop sign over here at Shark Road and Linden Grove, and there was a line of traffic coming when I wanted to make a left turn, so I came up to the stop sign, and the person that came up to the stop sign opposing, I waited, it went. Yeah, well, naturally, it's my turn, right? So I went. But apparently, the person behind that person felt like it was their turn, and I had violated their right. They drove very close to me, all the way from the four-way stop sign until I pulled in here to church, blowing the horn the whole time. Who is Jesus to you when someone goes out of turn at the four-way stop sign? Have you invited him in? Are you bringing him with you? Are you bringing him with you when your rights have been violated? See, in order to know Jesus as he is, we need to give up our rights. We need to give up our rights. When someone butts in the checkout line in front of you, who is Jesus to you? Do you kind of put him aside for the time being? Let the flesh rule? We do that. I do. Let's say I can find myself doing that because I'm not perfect. When I feel like I've been violated, there's something rises up in me, and you need to bring Jesus into it. Lord, come in. Help me to deal with this. I'm not doing well, and I believe Jesus will. He will always do that. If you don't believe that Jesus is in charge, Philippians 2:9-11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and the worship team can come a while. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. If you are not confessing today that Jesus Christ is in charge and that he is Lord, there will come a day that you will, on bended knees, say that he is Lord. And the bad thing about it is, don't wait till it's too late, because you will say it someday. You will say it someday. Let's stand together. And in the past, I've shared with you some of the attributes of God, and I'm going to share these with you again this morning. I don't get tired of them. It's just a whole line of what God is, and I want you to just soak it in, embrace this. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for the meal, and the worship team is going to lead us in a song at the end of what I'm done sharing here. When they're done, you're dismissed, okay? So let's pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word that Jesus always was and always will be, and he will always be there if we invite him in. Father, this morning again, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to fellowship together as a body of believers here this morning. I pray that you would guide our thoughts and our hearts and our minds as we fellowship together around the food. Lord, I pray that you would bless the food, that you would strengthen our bodies with it, and that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation, the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world cannot understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him away, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him, and the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him, and Donahue can't explain him away. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He is my guide, and he is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love, his burden is light, and his goal for me is abundant life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, the power of the powerful, the ancient of the days, the ruler of rulers. And the altar is open here this morning. If God is speaking to you, don't hesitate. He is the leader of leaders, the overseer of the overcomers, and the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. And if that seems impressive, try this for size. His goal is a relationship with me. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me, never overlook me, and ever cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am lost, he is the way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he is with me. When I face persecution, he shields me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He is everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, and every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his and he is mine. My Father in heaven can whip the father of this world. So if you're wondering why I feel so secure, understand this. He said it. That settles it. God is in control. I am on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. Every day is a blessing, for God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our God.